The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the need to pray continually and never lose heart. There was a judge in a certain town who said, who had neither fear of God, and he said, who had neither fear of God nor respect for man. In the same town, there was a widow who kept on coming to him and saying, I want justice from you against my enemy. For a long time, he refused. But at last, he said to himself, maybe I have neither fear of God nor respect for man, but since she keeps pestering me, I must give this widow her just rights, or she will persist in coming and worry me to death. And the Lord said, you notice what the unjust judge had to say. Now will not God see justice done to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night, even when he delays to help them? I promise you, he will see justice done to them and done speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. There's a story of a young boy who wanted to play in the band of the school. And it just suddenly he got this interest. So he went to his parents that night and he said, Mom and Dad, I want to play in the band in the school, so could you get me an instrument to play in the band? And his mom and dad were not very well to do, and they said, oh, that would cost quite a bit of money. And so they said, and we're not sure whether you're going to stick to it and investing so much of money after that. We'll give it a thought and we'll get back to you. A week passed, and this little boy didn't hear anything from his parents. So then he asked his mom and dad again, Dad, what about you getting an instrument for me to play in the band? And then his dad responded saying, oh, we've been talking about it, but we haven't yet made a decision. So maybe we'll get back to you again when we talk about it and weigh whether we can really spend that money or not. So anyway, he waited for a few days, didn't find a response yet from his mom and dad. So one day after school, he decided to drop in at the music shop. And he went in and he saw, as soon as he walked in, his eyes got caught on a trumpet. It was not a new one. It was a secondhand one. Quite good, though. And he said, oh, that's the instrument that I want to play. And he went and inquired how much it was, and it said it was only $100. So he went back to his mom, dad, that evening over supper. He told them, I walked into this music shop today, and I saw this trumpet, and it costs only $100. So could you get that for me? And so his mom and dad, now they looked at each other, and the mom said to the dad, we better get it for him, otherwise he's going to keep pestering us till we get it. So the next day, they actually went to the shop, and they got it. He joined the band. He practiced hard. He stuck to it. And all through high school, he played in the band. After that, when he went to uni, he studied music. And after he finished his university studies, he became a teacher for music in a school. What would have happened if he just stopped the first time when his mom and dad didn't respond to his request and didn't persevere further? His whole career would have changed. Maybe he would have never had meaning in his life. But we see from this story that he persisted. And because of that, he found meaning in everything that he did. Today's readings also bring us this whole aspect of being persistent in prayer. We have this beautiful story of Exodus, in Exodus, of the story of Moses now going from Israel, and he's leading his people from Egypt, leading the people into Israel. And so it's a long journey that he's making. And halfway down the journey is what today's reading is about. They meet the Amalekites. And the Amalekites are now just coming, confronting them head on, and it's going to be a big battle. And Moses now says to Joshua, Joshua, you go and face the battle. I'm going to go up the hill in the mountain, and I'm going to go pray. And because of my prayer, we were going to get victory. So that was his fight. And we see here now, as we might have gone through this story many times, it's not just a story that happened about 2,300 or 3,200 years ago. It's a story that talks about yours and my life. Our whole journey that we make, the journey that Israel made from Egypt, from slavery to Israel, the promised land, getting freedom, is symbolic of our own journeys of life. We are here on a journey traveling from sin to salvation. We are here on our journey from this earth to be in heaven forever. And so many of the things that we see that the Israelites face are the battles that you and I face today in our daily life. The Amalekites that Moses encountered in today's first reading could be the Amalekites of today, which could be depression, could be disheartening news that come to us maybe sometimes, maybe discouragement that we go through in many things that we do. It could be just issues that we have in relationships with people. It could be just a burden maybe of what I want to do and wish to do and I never get there. There could be a lot of those things which are Amalekites today. And the question is, what do we do? How do we respond to that in today's time? We saw Moses very, very beautifully sending Joshua out into battle, but he knew the great answer to that winning the battle would be prayer. Prayer is the only answer to all our battles in this world. Prayer is the only way that will lead us to salvation and find meaning in our lives. And so if you and I don't persist in our prayer, we're going to lose heart. We're going to go our own way. And then we get into deep trouble, and then we get into a deeper mess. But today, as we are looking into this reading, it's an invitation that the church is giving us and to ask us, actually, how do I relate to God? How do I pray? How do I petition to Him? How do I turn to Him? And how do I really trust Him in winning my battle or the battles that I go through? And so you see here that he's persisting in prayer. He's tired. His arms are falling down. And every time his arms go down, they start losing the battle. Then he gets Aaron and Hur to support his two hands. And as a body of people that they come together and support Moses, then he's strengthened. And then at the end, Israel wins that battle and continues their journey into the promised land. And it's so beautiful that you come together as a community, because in a community, you have your groups. You have, what do you call them, cell groups or whatever that you call them. Yeah, and that's the place that you get supported so much more in prayer, and you get so much more motivated to walk this walk with Christ. And so you have a great support, but how much do you turn to it and seek and see that God works through them too in the way God wants you to win your battles of life? So today the church is inviting us to look into ourselves and ask now, how much do I really rely in turning to God in every little thing? So if we move into the gospel today, Jesus is then telling his disciples, he's actually started off the gospel by saying, pray without ceasing and in all things turn to God. And you and I got to do that. That's the answer for every aspect of our life, that we've got to be praying without ceasing. In my early days of the charismatic renewal, I remember it used to be drilled into us, and we would have accountability partners, how faithful we were to our personal prayer every day. And if I look back, I thank God so much for those people who kept me accountable. And today, it's a discipline in my life, no matter what. And now being with the MGLs, we have a great spirit of prayer. We have an hour of adoration and then an extra hour of prayer that we all have to have individually by ourselves. But it's that personal time that we set aside for God every day that will see us through all our battles that we face. And no matter what, we might be part of the servants, we might be part of this beautiful community, but yet we all have our battles. And how do we respond to that? We have this great preacher, Billy Graham. I guess you all know about him. You don't have to have any introduction to him. But you know what? Every time he went on a crusade somewhere, 1 year before that, he would send a team not to go and organize things, not to go and plan things, not to take care of logistics. Even before any of those teams could go out, he would have the teams go into the city and start praying for that city, praying for the people in that area. And you know the power of his crusades. And we get to understand again the whole aspect of prayer. Now, sometimes, especially now talking to youngsters and many people around, they ask, okay, why do we have to pray so often? Is God a God who doesn't know about our needs and then we have to tell him about our needs and that's why we got to pray? God is an omniscient God. He knows everything. We don't have to tell him anything at all. But yet, we got to pray. Why do we have to pray? Maybe the other question would be, oh, maybe God is a God like a big boss of the city that we have to go plead with him. And the more we plead with him, then he sees, okay, maybe we're going to be serving him. And then he will agree and then grant us our petition. We know that our God is an all-benevolent God. So he's not a God like this big boss of the city who wants you to follow him and then he will help you. But St. John Damascene, one of the mystics of the Middle Age, he would say, that in praying and praying without ceasing, then we tune our minds and hearts to God for his will and his purpose to be fulfilled. And that's the only thing. The more we pray, the more we will get in tune with God's will and God's plan and God's purpose. And we know that when God's plan and God's purpose is fulfilled in our lives, then our lives are going to be free, filled with freedom, filled with joy, filled with a lot of meaning. And so all the more, you and I are got to be praying and turn to God every time in prayer, because then we will be more and more fashioned according to God's will, according to God's plan, and according to God's purpose. And when I look back into my life in my early days, I was very active in the youth ministry back in my country in India. And even though I was active in the youth ministry, you know what my prayer was? My prayer was, Lord, I needed a good job. I wanted a beautiful woman in my life. All the worldly things that I could pray for, that was my prayer. And I prayed sincerely for that. But the more I prayed, slowly God fashioned me. And God then tuned my desires, my plans to his will and his plan. And the more I prayed, the more God fashioned me to his purpose. And today I stand here not praying for a woman in my life, not praying for more money, not praying for more comforts. But I know the only thing that I need to pray for is for God's will and plan to be fulfilled in my life and the life of everyone else. So that's what you and I need to do. Turn to God. He's ever waiting. But not to pray. Sometimes you can just pray for our petitions too, because that'll fashion us, like I said. But you're more mature and you've been in that experience. And let's turn to God and say, Lord, let your will be done. And let your kingdom come. And when we truly make that prayer, there's inner freedom. There's an inner joy. There's an inner peace that nothing else can give but the Lord alone. And in this Eucharist, let's ask for that grace. That no matter what, we will persist in our prayer. We will support each other in prayer. But we will also turn our hearts and minds with this desire that God's great plan will be fulfilled in each one of our lives.